Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin-Staltari, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Most of my videos will be about travel or understanding various locations. But in this special series, I'm focusing on a part of Quebec Canadian history that is near and dear to my heart, the story of Les Filles du Roi, or the King's Daughters. In this series, I'll be focusing on individual biographies so that we can get to know as many of these amazing women as we can. Please let me know in the comments below if there's one Fille du Roi in particular you are interested in, and I'll try to move it to the front of the line. And please don't forget to subscribe to the channel, click on the notification to learn, and like this video. So that will all help me out so much. Let's get started, shall we? Now, in the program Les Filles du Roi, it was begun in 1663 by the intendant of New France, Jean Talon, at the time. I go into great depth about this in my video, the program, Filles du Roi, the program 2.0, and just give you kind of the ins and outs, how the girls were recruited, how they came across, what happened once they did, where they were from. All of that information contained inside that video, and will give you a really good background as to your particular ancestor as well, in terms of wow, she went through all of that. Let's get started and look at who we're going to look at today. Her name is Michelle Lindelore, and she is my 8 times great grandmom, and let's have a look at where she's from. Michelle was born in 1645 in the parish of Saint-Sauveur. Her parents' names are Nicolas Lindelore and René Chevalier. The church where she would have been born no longer exists, but could date its existence back to 1216. It was rebuilt in the 16th century and demolished in 1787, with the hope of rebuilding it, but a little thing like the French Revolution interfered in this plan. L'église Saint-Sauveur was found on Saint-Sauveur Street and the corner of Saint-Denis. There exists now a plaque, and this is the picture that I show you in the middle of the screen, commemorating this historic church. So let's talk a little bit about the location where she was born in Paris, known as La Deuxième Arrondissement, the second region. It's also known as Beauce. This arrondissement is located on the right bank of the River Seine. The second arrondissement is one that is focused on business activities. There are several banking headquarters that are found here, as well as the former Paris Bourse, the stock exchange, the Paris Opera, the Chantilly district, which is the home of the Grand Rex, and which is the largest movie theater in Paris. I want to see that for sure. So all of that, and I just give you that older picture. You can have a look at the arrondissement to see where number two is. It's in blue. You can see how close to the center of town it is. Also, I just love that picture on the bottom screen of just the river merging and where it is. And that gives you a sense of where she was from. Let's have a look at why she came. So she left for New France at the age of 23, arriving on July 3rd, 1668. I do not know, if her parents were alive or dead. It's just she was 23 years old. Many of these girls, remember, they didn't have to be orphans. Sometimes it was just the sheer fact that they could, start a new life and get a husband. And they are, to my mind, kind of like the women of the internet who decided they could, find their own husband somewhere in the world. And so, in a sense, that's kind of what they did. On that ship, we have a couple of my great grandmothers. Françoise Auvet was on that ship, which is number seven. Marie-Madeleine Philippe, number six, in our video series. And Michel Wayville is there at number 10. And Marie Dallon, number 15. So, there's quite a number of my great other great grandmothers that she could have intermingled with and hung out with. So time will tell. Now, who did she meet? Who did she marry? Her groom was called Nicolas Millet dit Marandais, and he's born in 1633 in the small village of Suresnes. In 1633, when he was born, it was in the section of France known as Poitou-Charentes. His parents were Jean Millet and Michel Gousson. Suresnes is part of the arrondissement district of Suresnes in the region of Poitou-Charentes. It's still a very small village, and at the last census, there were less than 200 people there. You can see in the top right picture in the red dot, that is Suresnes. In the bottom left, we have a map of France with the district of Poitou-Charentes in red. And on the very bottom right, I found a vintage map that I've circled, the arrondissement. I think I circled. Maybe I didn't circle it. Oh, I see. I didn't circle that where I circled it. It kind of moved. But you can kind of get an idea of where it would have been. And the church that Nicolas probably would have been baptized in dates from the 12th century and is called L'Église Saint-Hilaire. So still standing today. Got to see this place. Amazing stuff. So Nicolas and Michel, let's see when they marry. Oh, they haven't married yet, because in 1656, Pierre enlists at La Rochelle to work for 3 years in New France. Little is known of his life after this period, but I did find the listing in the 1666 census and the 1667 census, where he is employed by two separate people. The census of 1666 finds him working for Antoine Lemaître, dit Lamoureux in Trois-Rivières. And by 1667, he was in Cap de la Madeleine working for Étienne Gélinot. In case that last name sounds familiar, Étienne is living with a son named Jean, who is 20 years old. The next year, Jean would go on to marry Françoise de Charmes-Bisnel, another one of my great grandmothers, and Effie Girouard, which we've profiled. The number of the video escapes me now. In case you were wondering why there were two censuses back to back, blame it on the government error. Nothing changes, does it? In the 1666 census, they missed about 25% of the people. So they said, okay, let's do it again. So that's why it's kind of cool. I mean, I wish we had that when we were doing regular census too, you know. But back then, there was only, I think, 3,000 people or so. So the fact that they missed 25% is a lot of people. So finally, we see that they meet, and we have the marriage contract between Nicolas and Michel on the 29th of December, 1668. It's very difficult to read. I'm presuming they married sometime in 1669 in the beginning. This is just the notary's office, the contract, if you will, between them. And it appears that it was drawn up at Cap de la Madeleine, which is where they settled down. And so let's review a little bit about Cap de la Madeleine. It was founded on March 20th, 1651. The establishment was named by Jacques de La Ferté, who was the abbot of Saint Madeleine de Châteaudun in France. The city is famous for its basilic, Notre-Dame du Cap, dedicated to Our Lady of the Cape. The basilica receives thousands of pilgrims and visitors each year. Pilgrims are drawn to this site because it's considered to be the place where two miracles were performed by the Blessed Virgin. The first being the miracle of the eyes on the bridge, sorry, 1879, and the other being the miracle of the eyes in 1888. The first official pilgrimage occurred in 1883 and consisted of roughly 150 people. Can you imagine at that time, you know, I was going to say driving, but arriving, who traveled to the area, the pilgrimage site in North America. And this is really, it's considered the very first pilgrimage outside of Mexico, that people were drawn to. Now, during World War II, the Royal Canadian Air Force built and operated a training school here as part of the British Commonwealth training plant. Captain Amedmen School opened the school for the training of the air Field, opened in 1940 and closed in 1944. And it is, as you can see, a beautiful, beautiful area. I always include, well, first of all, I include the map, the Cap de la Madeleine, because you can see how close to Three Rivers, Trois-Rivières it is. The church, of course, not available when our people were there, but certainly there was a small chapel there at some point, and out of that grew this. And then this particular, on the right hand of your screen, the shore. And I like to imagine that that shore has not changed. And that is what they would have seen at their time in the 1670s. So let's get started and see what happens to Nicolas and Michel. Nicolas and Michel had four children. The firstborn, Jean, died before the 1681 census. Their second son died at the age of 26 without leaving any descendants. Mathieu, who is my direct descendant, married Marie-Geneviève Manuac de la Montagne. That's a mouthful. And they had 11 children, seven of whom lived to adulthood. And then we have Marie-Françoise, who passed away at under the age of one. Now, what else happens? By 1681, Nicolas and Michel were living in the fief of Hertel, which is part of the Seigneurie of Champlain, which is part of another seigneurie. You will note that their firstborn son, Jean, is not present in this census, and their daughter has yet to be born. The Hertel fief was located between Champlain and the Marcellet Prairie on the map, and was part of the parish of Champlain. In 1685, Michel's life took another twist. Her husband Nicolas dies, and her baby daughter Marie-Françoise dies at 13 days of age. Just, you know, just insane that she would have dealt with this. So when I read that, I was like, oh my goodness, what else happens to her? Well, she's a survivor. And by September, 6 months later, she marries Pierre Gilbert de la Chasse. He was born in 1647 in La Rochelle, France, where, ironically, her first husband, Nicole, left from in 1756. What we know of Pierre is that by 1665, he's in Quebec City and can be found in the 1667 census as a, you know, a single man. He's 26 years old. He has one gun. That's a fusil. That's what it talks about. He's living in Quebec City. And by 1667 census, he's a single man. He's also a single man. But in 1681, he's moved to Cap de la Madeleine, and he works for Claude Houzard, and he is basically a domestic, could be a servant, could be a rancher, I don't know, a farmer, like a laborer on the farm, not sure of what he was doing. But so Pierre and Michel set about building a life, but unfortunately it was not easy. Their infant daughter dies at birth. François, their son, was baptized in 1688, but nothing more is known of him. Marie-Françoise marries Pierre Dubreuil, but died at the very young age, of 27 without leaving any descendants. So the family that they tried to form, a little bit difficult. Michel will go on to live until the age of 73, a relatively young age from our 21st century perspective, but very old from that of the 1700s. The only reason we know that Pierre has already passed away is that in the death record, in her death record, it states that she is the widow of Pierre Gilbert de la Chasse. Why there's no death record for him, not sure of. The mystery is that she died at Saint-François on the island of Orleans. My only clue is that her daughter Marie-Françoise had died 2 years earlier on the island, and perhaps she went to stay with her and ended her life there. She is buried at the Saint-François Cemetery on Île d'Orléans, and that is what the death record states. So with that, we complete another Fijola. And I thank you for sharing this time with me. We will see you on the next Phaser One. Find out all about her on the next time. Until then, au revoir.